Wouldn't it be great if you could get past all the inaccessible shopping sites that are out there and go to one site that provides links to mainstream but accessible shopping resources? Well, for the UK audience, that's a reality with VIPHighStreet.com. It's the brainchild of John Miller, who joins us on the line now from the UK. John, thanks for your time. VIPHighStreet.com, interesting concept. Firstly, let's talk a bit about you and your background. From reading on the website, I see you have a background as a journalist.
That's right, Jonathan. I was a South African consumer journalist for the past 9 years prior to leaving SA in 97 and settling in the UK, hence my love of consumer affairs.
And so what have you been doing since your move to the UK?
When I got to the UK, I tried to get a job in journalism again and found it particularly difficult. I then decided to do a course, IT course, at one of the colleges down in Hereford, a tele-tutoring course which they introduced. Did the IT course, and then having the IT skills, decided what the hell am I going to do? Figured consumer journalism might be the route to go once again. And then struck upon the idea of how about setting up a website aimed at visually impaired people, essentially consumer orientated.
So the concept behind this is essentially putting people in touch with existing websites that offer services that are accessible, I take it, as opposed to actually being a retailer yourself.
That is one part of it. There are two parts of the website. That is the one part, looking at, as you say, putting people in touch with accessible websites. And then the other part of it is obviously the consumer side, where I hope to empower and educate consumers. So we have on the website, for example, consumer rights, fingering the baddies, and various other hints and tips regarding consumer affairs, with obviously the reader in mind, with them, their input as well.
I suppose there are two aspects to this. Obviously, there's general consumer law, which may be a bit difficult for many people to access if it's not an appropriate format, so that's valuable. But also, I suppose, there may be a place for visually impaired people to provide feedback via your site at some point about those retailers that go out of their way to provide good services to blind people when they go into the store.
You're right there, and again, we look at that because we have, for example, on the site, we have a link called Shopkeeper of the Month Award, which the idea behind that is that people will write in to us, email us with, for example, any shopkeeper that provided good service to them. The idea then will be that we will give them, that particular shopkeeper, probably a bouquet, and also notify the management of that person's ability in terms of customer service.
What kind of feedback have you received at this stage? Because I take it the project's in quite an early stage at this point.
It is, Jonathan, at the moment. Some of the emails we've had have been pretty encouraging. Most people have applauded what we're doing. The problem, and I don't think it only pertains to the UK, maybe not so much in the US, but certainly consumers, and I'm not talking about visually impaired consumers either, but consumers generally are pretty apathetic and just accept shoddy treatment, bad service. And what again I hope to do via the website is it gives the visually impaired person a platform to air their grievances, send in any complaints. We will then, that is myself and the website designer Sue Williams, will then investigate whatever the complaint might be, post that onto the net along with the response from the company, and hopefully as a result of that we'll bring about a better customer service from the company to the consumer.
That sounds exciting. So it's going to be a lot more than just a list of links. There's going to be unique content to your site that sounds like it could be quite insightful at some times.
Well, it goes back to, as I said to you in the beginning, having been a consumer journalist, dealing with customer complaints at that stage, and trying to resolve those complaints, be it rip-offs, be it scams, be it whatever. So it's merely continuing that. And so the site has, I suppose you would say, two parts to it. One, the links, providing those people who are fairly new to the net, giving them the ability to find accessible websites, because as you know yourself, there are quite a few sites that are not particularly accessible, especially from screen reader point of view, because of bells and whistles, graphics, and animations on them. So we've carefully selected sites that are accessible to blind people in particular. And then, of course, on the other hand, as I said to you, you're looking at the consumer side of it, which will be ongoing, and hopefully that'll be the main crux of the website. And, of course, on it, I might add that there are a couple of competitions links as well.
Yes, I've seen those there. I would imagine that the process of selecting the links that you're going to include on the site isn't as easy as it may appear, because you often see on blindness-related email lists that somebody's using a site and they complain that it's hopeless, it's inaccessible, and then you get a whole bunch of other blind people coming in saying, well, I use that site every day and it works fine. So do you have a set of criteria that you apply before you will put a site on there, or is it simply that you will have a look at the site yourself and decide that, you know, if I can use it, I'll put it here?
Jonathan, what we've been doing is myself and Sue Williams, my partner in this venture, she uses JAWS. I use Window Eyes. And a friend of mine, Colin Light, uses HAL. So between the three of us, we each go onto the various sites to see how well they work. Now, admittedly, some of the sites don't work particularly well for me, but that doesn't mean to say that they're not going to be listed, because they might work very well with JAWS and HAL maybe, but not necessarily with Window Eyes at times.
Have you actually found that more often than not, that there are sites that will work fine with one screen reader and not with another?
At times, Jonathan, but I think that might be because of my limited experience, possibly, so I would not hold it against the screen reader itself.
Okay, so you're really the content man, and then Sue Williams is doing the web design work. Can you tell us a little bit about her background?
Sue Williams is, her background is she graduated at Cambridge University and does application and website design. That is her job. She's doing this part-time. We met over the net. In fact, it's quite an interesting story, because to date, we've been working together for nearly 9 months, and we have not spoken over the phone nor met. Everything has been done via email. So if she picked up the phone today, I wouldn't know what she would sound like at all.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You know, the joys of the net, again.
Absolutely. There are a number of us working on projects with a large team of people that have never met up with each other. It's, I guess, a symptom of the age in which we live.
Absolutely. Correct. Yeah.
Are you targeting the UK market solely at this point?
Jonathan, Sue and I have discussed this, and what we would like to do is, once we've got it up and running here, and obviously there will be changes as we go along and probably links added to it. Again, it'll be customer-driven. If people want other links on it, we'll certainly put other links on it and look at other areas on the site. Recently we added a entertainment and sports grounds list. That was only in December. So what we want to do, once we've got this up and running smoothly, we want to look at the American market, because again, I think the Americans are probably far more customer focused and consumer orientated than say in the UK.
And of course, they've got a huge number of websites over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's a big market.
Right, indeed.
Now, I guess the question needs to be asked, are you doing this as a service to the blind community, or do you have a business model in mind by which you can generate revenue from the site?
Jonathan, at the moment, the site is a non-profit-making site. I am going to be looking at, later this year, looking at pulling in some kind of sponsor, because it's a bit hefty on the old pocket. When you have to fork out everything, be it telephone calls you have to pay for, and also registering the site on a year basis.
Yes, I'm interested. There are some blind people who are making a little bit of money through affiliate programs, where by referring people to certain websites, there's a little bit of commission if people make a purchase. And I think the problem that some are having is that there doesn't seem to be sufficient click-throughs in the blind community to really make that terribly worthwhile, although with a site that's focusing primarily on consumerism and putting people in touch with merchants being one of those aspects, it may well be an option for you.
There is a little bit of money to be made, certainly from, you know, if you look at it in terms of, I suppose you could call it royalties almost in a sense, but it certainly isn't enough to maintain the site as such. I think I'm going to have to get a sponsor involved at some stage.
Yeah, there's also the integrity issue too, isn't it, that people will be sceptical about whether they're being referred to the site because it's a good site or whether you're getting a bit of commission from it.
That is a point, except, my years in journalism, being sort of 17 years in journalism, one of the things that I will do, no matter what any sponsor might say, is retain complete editorial control over the site. And also, obviously, from Sue's point of view as well, it'll be entirely up to us. We just want their money at the end of the day. That's all we want.
Where do you hope the site will be in a year's time? If we spoke to you this time next year, what do you hope to have been able to achieve?
Hopefully we'd have cracked the American market, because that is where I believe, as I said to you earlier, that is where I believe consumers are
right.
Switched on. They are aware of consumer affairs, and they're willing to complain. And until people start to complain, only then will customer service improve, and certainly the UK leaves a lot to be desired in terms of customer service.
One thing I was going to ask you about that was intriguing to me was that we did a review from one of our contributors some time ago about the Tesco's website, which at the time of its release made a big song and dance about the fact that it had an accessibility option, but I see that it's not featured in the supermarket part of your site.
I'll tell you why it's not. Simple reason that with their accessible website, you in fact have to provide certain information before you can log onto the site, and I don't see why one should have to do that. If you go into most, in fact, I'd say 99% of the other sites, commercial sites, you do not have to provide any information to in turn receive or find out whatever you want to know in terms of products. So we decided on that basis, or I decided on that basis, that I'm not going to include them because I think it's unfair. And also, if you have a look at their accessible website, it certainly doesn't include all the products that you can find on their quote-unquote cited normal site that they have available to other people.
Yeah, and this is a very interesting issue that's come up also in the context of the new Amazon.com/access, that they've come up with a site that they claim is wonderful for blind and vision impaired people, and in fact it doesn't appear to contain nearly as much information
Well, to me it smacks of tokenism, quite frankly, and if sites are going to do that, they certainly won't be listed on our site.
So in your view, we should be perhaps taking a bit of a stand against those organisations that choose to create a second site as opposed to making their primary site accessible.
Absolutely. I mean, there are, as I said to you, there are many sites in the UK that are accessible to blind people without them creating an alternative site. So I don't see why, be it a supermarket or be it any other high street store, has to do that. If only their web designers would get down and design and format pages properly, they wouldn't have to do that. I think that particular supermarket got away with a lot of free advertising, which I don't think was justified.
You in Britain have a fairly new, I think, Disability Discrimination Type Act. How is that going, and has it been tested with respect to its application to the internet at this stage?
Jonathan, I'm probably the wrong person to ask on that, but I would say possibly no. I mean, I can talk in general terms about the Act, and again, we go back to what I said to you, is that consumers, unfortunately, in this country, be they blind, be they sighted consumers, are pretty apathetic when it comes to standing up for their rights. So until blind people stand up for their rights, things will not improve. For example, under the Disability Discrimination Act, companies and also government bodies are apparently supposed to supply the applicant with any reading material in an accessible format. Well, very seldom are you ever offered that unless you specifically ask for it. And then invariably what will happen, many, especially government agencies, are totally unaware that such a facility exists.
Hmm. All right, so if people would like to check out the website, where do they go to take a look?
Jonathan, they would go to www.vip-highstreetoneword.com, and they will find, as I say, all the links from supermarkets, travel, DIY, electrical computers, through to consumer rights, Fingering the Baddies, Tales of Woe, two excellent competition links. I might add about the competition links, which should get your listeners to come on board, is I've just negotiated a 7-day break to a cheetah sanctuary for blind people.
Excellent. It's a very orderly site, I must say. It's well organized, easy to navigate, and people should have no problem getting the information they want quickly. So that's vip-highstreet.com.
And, yeah, indeed.
We look forward to watching its progress. I appreciate you coming on the program.
Jonathan, thanks for your call and your interest in the site.